Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news, transfer news. Hope you're all doing well. Big news to get into straight away. Concrete official talks with Matheus Fernandes coming in from Fabrizio Romano. This is the sort of news I want to get in with. I'm fed up of all the chancers and the people who don't actually have huge followings or credibility telling us stuff that we're meant to believe. When you get it from Ornstein or Romano or a couple of others, you know it's actually happening. So this is good news. Also, interesting stuff around Alex Scott-Anderson. Also, United maybe not looking at a left-back and looking at a left-winger. But then someone else says we're looking at a left-winger and not a left-back. Maybe we're looking at both. Maybe we're looking at a player who can do both. We'll talk about that as well. But let's delve straight into this big news this Friday morning as well. So basically, don't read... The best place to come is the United Stand on the 10 o'clock show, because we'll break it down in detail. If you read a post on Instagram or X or wherever, it can be misinterpreted. So a lot of people were saying Man United are in official talks with Matheus Fernandes' agent, Jorge Mendes, which is what Fabrizio Romano did say. But he also spoke for about another 30 seconds after that. There is more context to it. What he didn't say, and what we can tell you, is that, well, let's say what Fabrizio basically said. Man United have made official contact with Jorge Mendes, who is the agent of Matheus Fernandes, to discuss a deal. They really like the player. They are doing that. They have made that contact with a view to preparing a bid to take to West Ham United. So that's... There's more to it from Fabrizio, but that's basically what he said. Official contact with Jorge Mendes with a view to preparing a bid for West Ham. Now, what we can tell you, having made a couple of calls ourselves, or to be honest, WhatsApp messages, Matheus Fernandes' personal terms, not a problem. Terms agreed. Man United will not prepare a bid for anybody unless they have all that done. Matheus Fernandes appreciates Man United, is interested in Manchester United, and will take into account their offer if it's the best offer that West Ham get. We'll talk more about that in a minute. So terms agreed with Matheus Fernandes is basically where we are at. The problem we've got now is West Ham, which again we'll talk about in a minute. So is this good news? Well, it is good news because it means Man United have got buy-in from the player. It doesn't close the door on other clubs, which we'll come to. But effectively, we know how Manchester United work. And United will not start preparing bids unless they've got buy-in from the player. Matheus Fernandes' terms were never a problem for Man United and have never been a problem for him. He is not a player that's looking for over 150 grand a week. And he's not a player that's looking for ridiculous signing on fees. He wants to make this move for his career. He wants to move to a club where he can be part of a project for the next few years, get into the Portuguese team and compete for the big prices. Whether that's Arsenal, Man United, PSG, Real Madrid, Liverpool. He is interested in his career development more than he is saying, I want 200, 300 grand a week. And that means that for Man United, he's absolutely perfect because we don't want to pay silly wages, big wages, big... We don't want to do that. So terms agreed effectively with Matheus Fernandes based upon the conversations that we've had in the last few hours yesterday with Jorge Mendes. The big question is, well, is a deal close? Yes and no. Fabrizio goes on to say that there are other clubs interested in Matheus Fernandes, and it will now be an interesting race to see who gets him. Jorge Mendes is also the agent of Bernardo Silva, who has just signed for Real Madrid. There's also another development around Real Madrid that impacts Man United as well. It's this midfield merry-go-round, and you've got to keep in tune with it on a daily basis because things change all the time. Fabrizio basically said Rodri from Man City to Real Madrid is now off. It won't happen this summer because Perez didn't want Rodri. It was the other candidate that wanted Rodri. So Rodri to Real Madrid is now off. It won't happen this summer. Which means Tchouaméni to Man United is more unlikely because Rodri to Real Madrid would have forced him out. So Tchouaméni is probably unlikely now based on this update coming in this morning. And this is what I mean about pretenders projecting lies and bullshit to try and be first. It's the detail you get from the connections that Romano and Ornstein have that tell a bigger story. So what we've basically had in the early hours this morning is official talks with Jorge Mendes for Matheus Fernandes from Man United to discuss a first bid with West Ham, which we know from who we've spoken to this morning means personal terms are agreed with Matheus Fernandes, wages, package, not a problem with that. So we can say terms agreed. Normally that would mean, okay, next stage deal done, and it still could be. But as Fabrizio has said, yes, we've got buy-in from the player, but we haven't got exclusive buy-in from the player. We haven't got the player saying, I don't want anybody else apart from Man United. What we've got is the player saying, I'd love to come and play for Man United, and if you can do a deal with West Ham, I'll do it. But other teams are in the race. Let's wait and see. So it is advancing, and it could, I would say what Simon Stone said last week, I'd be surprised if we don't get Fernandes, because if we don't get him, where do we go now? So I'd be surprised if we don't get him, but there's still a bit of competition there. Also, Real Madrid not going for Rodri anymore probably means Tchouaméni stays, which closes another door. So in essence, we have to get this Fernandes deal done, because suddenly the breaking news is he is now our top shelf signing. He's gone from there to there in the space of 12 hours. We were concerned / debated whether Fernandes should be the Casemiro replacement. I think as things stand this morning, he is. Because if that yellow ball is Anderson, and if the book, Duncan, is Tonali, too expensive, and if the white ball is Tchouaméni, then that's looking like it's off as well. So it looks like we're going to have to go all in on Fernandes and push him up to the marquee signing now and maybe get a Scott or a Belaba with him. Because Tonali, Tchouaméni and Anderson just look like they're drifting away, which for me, you know, just to give you an opinion, I think that's unacceptable. I think we have three really viable Casemiro replacements and it looks like we've messed them all up. But that's a transfer market. Doesn't mean Fernandes can't end up being a superstar. And it is Man United. We do tend to not get plan A, B or C. So we've just got to move with what's available. And I want to say as well, I'm very happy signing Fernandes. I wanted to sign Fernandes. I just didn't want him to be the marquee signing. I wanted him to be the second signing. And look, things can change very quickly. Maybe Man City pivot towards another midfielder and Tchouaméni becomes available again. We're only talking about Rodri. Maybe they go for Enzo Fernandes and then Rodri becomes available again. Tchouaméni becomes available again. Why do you have concerns that the deal won't get done, Mark? Only because, and I think this is really important, I think a deal for Fernandes is close, but the definition of close is very wide. You know, close could be bid goes in this weekend. Close could be bid goes in 2 weeks. Close could be bid goes in at the weekend, gets rejected. Second bid goes in 2 weeks, gets rejected. Third bid gets accepted in a month. We could be wandering into Mbeumo territory now. I think we've definitely got the buy-in of the player. There will be competition potentially, but we've got the personal terms done. And look, let me just say this as well. I don't know this, but PSG might talk to Jorge Mendes officially and sort personal terms out and then talk about a bid with West Ham as well. Jorge Mendes, I'd like a little bit more clarity from Fabrizio on what Jorge Mendes's involvement is with the bid, because Jorge Mendes isn't just an agent, he's a super agent in the sense that he can put together deals. So if we've sorted out personal terms with Matheus Fernandes through Jorge Mendes, and now we're talking to Jorge Mendes to sort the bid out with West Ham, that means Jorge Mendes is negotiating the deal with West Ham, which is a lot better for us because that means he's working for us to get the deal done with West Ham, which means we're probably the only horse in the race. However, if we've only agreed terms with Jorge Mendes and then he's off to do terms with PSG and Real Madrid, we're in a bidding war. So I'm hoping, and I am reading between the lines here, I've done a little bit extra to establish that we've agreed terms and, you know, that's not a problem. But what I'd like to know, and Fabrizio will have the answer, is Jorge Mendes working on the deal with West Ham for us? And that's why we're talking about a bid, because that's very different. If we've only sorted out personal terms with his client, there's going to be a potential race. And Fabrizio does hint at that there is still a race there. But his update did say official talks, preparing a bid. Now, I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit here. What I think he's saying is, we've spoken to Jorge Mendes to sort out personal terms. Now we're preparing a bid with West Ham. That's probably the logical step. But because he mentioned official talks with Jorge Mendes, and Jorge Mendes can get involved in negotiating bids like he did with PSG for João Neves and Ugarte to who is, he masterminded that deal. He also masterminded the deal for Yoro. So he can get involved beyond the player to sort out the deal. Now, if we've got Jorge Mendes helping us do the deal with West Ham, we'll get this deal done because that means he's representing us and his player to get a move to Man United. I don't know whether we're at that stage yet. It could be that we're at that stage, in which case we're home and hosed. It's just a matter about how long. If we've got to do the bid ourselves and he's still representing his client to other clubs, that's a bit different. So that was the big takeaway for me. What I would say is it could go like the Mbeumo deal where we've got the personal terms done with the player. It could still take 6 weeks. One other concern I have, or the major concern I have, is West Ham. Because Man City have got this problem with Forest at the moment. They've obviously, in fact, breaking news. Where we are with Fernandes, ironically, is exactly where Man City are with Anderson. They've obviously got the player's personal terms sorted. It's now about putting the bid in. And Forest aren't accepting the bids from Man City. I think they've had two rejected. West Ham can reject our bids as well. So we could be 6 weeks away from this being official. So we might need a little bit of patience. And I would say that, please be patient. Because there are people out there who are just bullshitters pushing stuff for credibility that they're never going to get because they don't really know what's going on. Romano and Ornstein will get the drop on this like they always do. But we'll get sucked into that void that we've been in for 10 years where United do take a long time to do deals. And within that time, there's people going, I'm hearing it's tomorrow. I'm hearing it's tomorrow. And it could take. And I'm not defending the club in any way, shape or form, but we do also have to be fair to the club and say they have shown in the past how they operate. Could be 6 weeks working a deal out with West Ham. The gap between deal... The gap between personal terms agreed with the player and deal done with the club, we all know, can be weeks. I mean, I think we did it in two with Sesco and Leipzig, but that was because there was competition from Newcastle. Honestly, if there's competition, it'll get done quicker. That's a great point. With Sesco, it was 2 weeks because there was competition with Newcastle. With Mbeumo, it was 7 weeks because there was no competition. So in a way, It's a risk if other clubs are involved, but it will get done quicker. If we get a free run at him, it could take weeks because we'll negotiate with West Ham. So look, it's a really good update. Certainly is a good update. But there's still a little bit of work to do. And what I would say is, if we don't get this deal done, and I've not really heard anybody say they don't want Matheus Fernandes. All I've heard people say is I'm a little bit concerned that he's going to be the star signing now. That's all we've really heard. What are your thoughts on it? My thoughts are, one way or another, we have to get this deal done. Because if it's Ederson, Fernandes and Scott, it's still three midfielders. If it's Ederson, Fernandes, and then something remarkable happens and it ends up being Tonali and or Tchouaméni still, that's a good summer. But what it can't be is Ederson and we've missed out on Fernandes, we've missed out on Tonali, we've missed out on Tchouaméni, we've missed out on Anderson, because then we're in big trouble. So I think one way or another, we've got to get this deal done and then assess it at the end. I'm hoping the competition isn't there. I'm hoping Real Madrid are looking elsewhere. I'm hoping PSG are looking elsewhere. I'm hoping Arsenal, who have been very quiet, are looking elsewhere. Arsenal worry me. They are so quiet at the moment. But I'm hoping that we will get this deal done. We can argue and debate about whether he should be the Casemiro replacement or the second midfielder later down the line. Let's get him in, certainly, because if we don't, you know, as I said to you before, for me, there's five options to bring in two players. There's Anderson, Tchouaméni, Tonali, Scott, Fernandes. I think we can nearly take four of them out already if Fernandes doesn't come. So, and Scott's not necessarily easy if Iriola decides he wants him at Liverpool. So there's a lot. There's a lot to go for. Ian Jones, very interesting. Sorry, let me just talk to you about Anderson very quickly, because somebody said, do you think Anderson's still possible with Man City preparing to walk away? Now, there was a couple of stories. I mean, look, a couple of interesting stories from last night. Obviously, we were alive a little bit early because of the World Cup. The article that Lookhurst did in The Sun, apparently he edited it after he'd put it out, saying that Lewis Hall hasn't asked to leave. Which means, it apparently no longer says Lewis Hall wants to leave Newcastle. It just states he would be open to joining Manchester United. As I said last night, for me, that story wasn't new anyway. It was basically what Ben Jacobs and Sam C have been saying for a couple of weeks, that, you know, Lewis Hall wasn't happy with the end of the season at Newcastle and would be open to a move to Man United if it happened. But what was interesting is that a couple of people reported last night that Man City are considering walking away from a deal to sign Elliot Anderson after having 100 million plus 20 million in add-ons rejected by Forest. Marianakis holding out for the overall fee being paid in full. So apparently that's like a second bid that they've had rejected, and they might walk away. Rob Dawson, also ESPN, saying Man United are ready to pull out of the race to sign Man United. Sorry, Rob Dawson. This is about Man United. Rob Dawson, ready to pull out of the race for Elliot Anderson. Their initial value evaluation of the player of between 80 and 90 has obviously been superseded by Manchester City. So, yeah, I was getting a bit confused there. So Man City are thinking of walking away because Forest have rejected a bid of 100 million plus 20. Man United walked away, according to Rob Dawson, because they valued him between 80 and 90 million. So, I mean, look, to be honest with you, I think, as I said last night, who in the football club is valuing players? Because 80 or 90 million pounds for Elliot Anderson, I'm sorry, they've got that completely wrong. It was just never going to be that. It was never going to be that. We were never going to get anywhere near that. But there was an interesting question here, interesting super chat here. I just wanted to just touch on it because it's very, very relevant. And I can't see it now. Let me run through them and I'll find it. Rajaf says, what's your thoughts on Bernardo Silva? Here we go. None. Man City player going to Real Madrid, not bothered. I don't think it makes any interest. I still think they'll buy another midfielder as well. Loved the show last night, says Amir. It's important to remember that overspending is bad only when you pay for the wrong players. Maguire, Sancho, Mount. We see others spend big on real gems and get rewarded. Yes, I just reminded me of something, Amir. Great point. I get clipped up a lot and some people send me the clips of stuff. And there was basically a bit last night where I was talking about Andy Cole for 7 million in 1995. Ruud van Nistelrooy in the early noughties for like 30 million. Rooney. All these players, if you take inflation into account, would be north of £100 million signings. It's just simple facts. So somebody said, how dare you compare Elliot Anderson to Andy Cole? We can't keep paying silly money for silly players. And thankfully, most of the replies were like, you're an idiot. You didn't listen to what he said.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I don't mind if people don't want to pay £120 million for Elliot Anderson. That's absolutely fine. That's what opinion is all about. That's not what my point was. My point is Man United have always paid big transfer fees for players that they want. We've always done it. It's not new. It's new to not do it. We've always done it. And we were always very successful doing it. Rio Ferdinand, Rooney, Van Nistelrooy, Roy Keane, Andy Cole. We've always paid big fees to bring in big players to Manchester United. That's what we do. And that's what I'm saying. So what my point is, I've got no doubt that Man City are offering Elliot Anderson north of 250 grand a week. No doubt about it. Absolutely. They did it with Gehi. I think they did it with Semenyo. They will be offering him north of 250 grand a week. We won't do that. They're offering north of £100 million. We won't do that. This is not about Elliot Anderson. This is about a club that won't pay those fees anymore. And that's fine on Elliot Anderson. But what I'm saying to you is there is a club that will pay north of 250 grand a week and north of £100 million to get the player they want. We won't do it. It's not about what you think. It's about a club that won't do it. So what about... And I say this to all those fans who say, no, they're doing the right thing, they're walking away. Think of the best player that you would like Man United to sign. And then I will tell you, we won't pay the wage and we won't pay the transfer fee. Are you still happy to walk away? And I think this is where some people aren't thinking. We're not making it about Elliot Anderson. We're saying Man United now, under this ownership, don't pay big wages and don't pay big transfer fees. But other clubs will. So it's all right you walking away, but you're also walking away from Premier Leagues and Champions Leagues because we won't win them with this ownership because they will walk away from any deal over £100 million or 250 grand a week. So tap them on the back about Elliot Anderson, by all means. You might be right. But where's the deal where we won't walk away? It doesn't exist. We will not do these deals anymore. And this is what I mean. Some of our fans are applauding this ownership because they're walking away from this deal, not realising they'll walk away from every deal like this in the future. They will never do it again. And how are we supposed to win when Arsenal will do it, Liverpool will do it, Chelsea will do it, Man City will do it? There's 4 clubs in England that will do what we won't do anymore. We won't pay over £100 million and we won't pay over 200 grand a week. So yeah, Elliot Anderson, if you don't think he's worth it, absolutely fine. You know, I don't agree with you, but I get it. I absolutely get it. But what you don't get is we're not going to do it for a player you do want to do it for. We're not going to do that anymore. That's what they're saying. We're not buying players over £80 million anymore. We're not buying players over £200,000 a week anymore. We're just not going to do it. That was there yesterday from Ben Jacobs. It's been mentioned by David Ornstein. So forget Elliot Anderson. My concern is they talk about winning leagues. They talk about winning Champions Leagues. But we're not willing to pay the wages or the fees to get the players in to do it. Now, Elliot Anderson might not be that player. Tonali might not be that player, but we won't pay for them anyway, and we won't pay for the players that are. And the scary thing is, Man City will. Man City gave Gehi from Crystal Palace over £250,000 a week. They're giving Anderson from Nottingham Forest over £250,000 a week. They pay Haaland £400,000 a week. How do we compete with this if we're not willing to do it? And what baffles me is the fans that go, I agree. Well, I hope you agree when Carrick's getting sacked because he hasn't got the players. I hope you agree when you're moaning about us not winning titles. You can't have both. We're a football club. We're not a business. If you want to win in entertainment sport, you need to spend. And the ironic thing is, we used to do it. We used to pay the big wages. We used to pay the big transfer fees. Roy Keane, Rio Ferdinand, Wayne Rooney, Andy Cole, Van Nistelrooy. This is what our history was built on. We go and get the best players. And now we're not doing it. So you can moan at me all you like, but tell me what I've said wrong in the last 2 minutes. Because I acknowledge you might want to walk away from Elliot Anderson for £120 million, but we're going to keep walking away from every deal. And some players you do need to spend £100 million on. And some players you do need to spend over £200,000 a week on. And we're a club that's not doing it anymore. And some of you are applauding the club for being that. And I can't get my head on that. I can't understand it. I can't understand why we've got fans who are saying, I agree with us not paying big fees and big wages anymore. Well, we won't win then, will we? We won't win because Arsenal are doing it. Chelsea are doing it. Liverpool are doing it. And City are doing it. Liverpool bought two players over £110 million last summer. Chelsea have bought players over £100 million. Arsenal have bought players over £100 million. And Man City are willing to take what it takes to get there. And that's my frustration. It's not about Elliot Anderson. It's about the message from this football club that we're no longer going to be willing to buy players over £100 million or over £200,000 a week. Well, what are we doing then? And why are we applauding it? Imagine next season, the next Wayne Rooney comes along and everybody wants him. We will be linked to him all season, like we were Elliot Anderson. And then in the summer, we'll go, we're not getting in a bidding war. We're not willing to pay £100 million. But they will be worth £100 million. The next Wayne Rooney will be worth £100 million and he'll be worth £250,000 a week. The next Roy Keane will be worth £100 million and he'll be worth £250,000 a week. The next Van Nistelrooy will be worth £100 million and he'll be worth £250,000 a week. And we won't do that deal. And that's my point. It's not about Elliot Anderson. We're just not willing to do those deals anymore. And people are applauding it. We can't do it. We can't do it. Why can't we do it? Because we can't afford it. Well, we can. And also, you're worrying about the debt that this fucking ownership put on this football club. If we didn't have that debt, we'd be loaded. And we're not loaded because of this ownership. So basically, you're applauding owners who've fucked us over. And I don't mind if we don't get Elliot Anderson. But at some point, we do need to start buying those types of players. Casemiro, the pedigree of Casemiro is uncharted. The leadership, the tackles, the goals he was scoring, the influence on the team. He is a leader in that team. And we're replacing him with what? A guy from Brazil who's never played in the Premier League. A lad who's just been relegated with West Ham and hasn't got any experience. Like, why are we not writing... If we're not going to write the checks to replace Casemiro, I mean, I don't know. Then you've got Berarda saying we're going to win the league next year or the year after. Look, it can still happen. You know, maybe Man United write a check for Tonali tomorrow for 100 million quid and they give him 250 grand and I'll go, this is what you need to do. If they do the things, I'll applaud it. But, you know, tell me I'm wrong. it feels to me like we're a club that is basically being applauded by sections of our fans for being unambitious. We're not going to do the things we've always done to be successful. We won't go and spend big money. And look, I haven't worked out inflation, but you tell me what Rooney was on and what we paid him when we got him. Tell me what Rio was on when we got him and what we paid him with inflation. It would be north of 100 million. Anders says, what do you think about Fernandes? Do you think we will get the third midfielder? I mean, Anders, if we only sign Fernandes and Edison, I won't be crying, but I will be going, what are we doing then? What are we doing? And that's the thing. The midfield for me needed to be one of Tchouaméni, Anderson and Tonali, one of Fernandes, Scott and Stiller, and we've got Edison, and I'd be very happy with that. FIFA forced players to have a release clause, says Old Trafford. I mean, it's not come in yet, but there is talk about it. Patrick Lynch, I hope you're doing very well this morning, says, could Mateus Fernandes be like the Yoro signing and we can somehow get a centre midfield equivalent of a De Ligt? Cheap price, but experienced. Issue is we get linked to everyone and anyone, so would that even be? Look, Patrick, in a very balanced way, I know for a fact Man United are talking to more than Fernandes. And this doesn't get reported by the know-it-alls because they just want to be first on Fernandes. We are talking to other midfielders. It wouldn't be a shock to me if United suddenly pivoted to another signing before Fernandes. And I'll leave it there. It would not surprise me if we signed somebody else before Fernandes. And I'll leave it there. Doesn't mean we won't get Fernandes. I just would not be surprised if whilst Fernandes is being negotiated, we pop in and do something else. So we are talking to other players. But we do need somebody with experience as well. Andre says, I have to say that I love Fernandes and I think he will be world class, but the reason PSG Madrid can go for him is because they already have a solid midfield. Never wanted him as the marquee as much as I like him, says Andre Gomez. Razzler says, hi, look, I like Fernandes. I've got to be honest. I haven't seen anything in the games I've watched that make me think he's going to be world class. I think there's a lot of United fans making out he's going to be world class and I don't trust them, because I've heard them say a lot of things about other players as well. I think he's a very good player. Otherwise, he wouldn't have the players that are looking at him. But looking at him in the games I've seen, he doesn't strike me as the next Steven Gerrard or the next Roy Keane, you know, or the next Kante. I'm hoping he can be. I think he's good. But I think we need to be very careful about what we're expecting from him in his first season, because even if he is going to be the next big thing, it's going to take a bit of time for him to adjust. This is why I wouldn't sign him as the marquee signing. I don't think he's going to come in and hit the ground running. I think we're going to have to be patient. And the problem with patience is, look at Dorgu, look at Ahmad, look at Mbeumo. There isn't a lot of patience in this fan base. I mean, it's another great point, isn't it? We don't really have a patient fan base anymore. You know, people get on at people if they don't hit the ground running. Is Mateus Fernandes going to hit the ground running straight away? Interesting. Apparently Ruben Amorim might be the next AC Milan manager. That's just come out there. I mean, we're not going to dwell on that, but could be. Moose One says, I love all these numbers, but I'm really happy we're in the Champions League and also how our team developed. I believe we just need to be more consistent from now on, regardless of who comes in or not. A very simple but true statement. Thank you. Razzler says, I've got an interesting take. I think Anderson could end up staying at Forest. City may expect a transfer ban or points deduction, so they're doing business early. Anderson to United next summer, possible. Razzler, you know what? I think you've sort of, I mean, this is not the Man City stand, but we some of us wanted to sign Elliot Anderson. I think you might have nailed it. I think Man City are wary of a transfer ban, and I think they're trying to get business done quickly. But I also think Forest know that, and they know Man City are chasing the clock. So I think they've gone, well, if you want this deal, it's 120 million, which most of us look at and go, that's incredible. But I think Man City are chasing a clock. So I think that Man City are in a, and I think this is why Man City are saying they might go for Tonali. I think they want to get someone in before the end of June. I think they think something's coming with this court case, and they won't know what's coming. They might get away with it. They might not be found not guilty. But I definitely think they're not moving slowly on this. They're trying to move it really quick, and you might be onto something. Gamer King says, in your opinion, if we get Fernandes, what non-top shelf players would bring the most balance as the last slot to the midfield four? Ugh. Gamer, you've got to work with the scenario, haven't you? So if you've got Fernandes, Edison and Mainoo, I'd be desperate for someone like Tchouaméni or Tonali, because it's very inexperienced with Edison, Mainoo and Fernandes. But you've said that they're not available and they probably won't be available. So Fernandes, Mainoo, Edison are inexperienced. What do I do? I mean, I still think Stiller's worth a punt. He's nearly 25. I still think he's worth a punt, but he's not Premier League proven. And so Scott, probably, but again, he is inexperienced. It's a punt going with such an inexperienced midfield and an experienced coach. Lewis Hall, Eddie have the same agent. It's a problem, says Old Trafford, Malik. And from last night's show, I put Pogba into AI and the price we paid would be the equivalent to 165 million today. Unambitious prats. I wonder if you can do that. Let me have a quick look. With inflation, why have I always got caps lock on? With inflation, how much would I typed in there, with inflation, how much would Rio Ferdinand have cost United today? The centre-back set a new British record when moving to Manchester United from Leeds. Ferdinand's move would be the equivalent of over £150 million today, adjusted for inflation. And we did get good value for money. Wayne Rooney. I mean, this is AI, so it won't be totally accurate. Adjusted for football-specific inflation and revenue growth, Wayne Rooney's £30 million transfer from Everton to Man United in 2004 would cost between... You see, I like this one better. So Rooney's £30 million transfer from Everton to Manchester United in 2004, so 22 years ago, would today be between 118 and 177 based on football-specific inflation and revenue growth. So Rooney cost us 30 million in 2004. In 2026, that deal would be the equivalent of somewhere between 118 and 170 million. And this is my point. This is exactly my point. We've paid these fees before. And Sir Jim Radcliffe and the Glazers know we've paid them. But they think we're stupid, so they'll go, no, Rooney only cost 30 million. Well, that 30 million in 2004 is the equivalent of over 120 million now. So we've always done these deals ambitiously to try and be the best. And what you're saying is that won't happen now. We won't do it. I've got one on Andy Cole here as well. Oh no, that's me. It's me on Facebook. Okay. From last night's show, thank you very much, Ian. You've prompted an interesting conversation there. Amir says, I think the real reason the fan base worry about spending 100 million is the fact that board sets budgets like 250. And this is when people start calculating and worry because we need 7 or 8 players to be competitive. Yeah, but you're not, Amir, I don't think you're wrong, but we're not, you know, we shouldn't be dancing to their tune anyway. We're a very wealthy football club and we shouldn't be working to budgets. Sorry, I've got a few comments coming in here. And they're good. Martin says, if it's a bidding war, we'll win and pay over the odds. There's only two decent midfielders coming in then. I don't acknowledge that, Martin. I don't know what you're talking about. Again, you're acting like you work for the Glazers and you think you know what the budget is. Man United can afford to buy 3 midfielders and spend £200 million easily. Getting concerned about our height on set pieces. Lewis Hall, Fernandes, Cunha and Bermo aren't that tall or physical. Only Maguire and Sesko are capable, says Sunriser. Yeah, but you're also buying players we haven't bought yet. Seth says, nearly $200 million for three players to improve the attack last season. We need this level of dedication again for our midfield. I want Leal for the left wing. Thank you very much, Seth. Goldfridge says, the lack of experience is one thing, but the balance of the midfield scares me as well. Mainu, Scott, Fernandez, Edison, all number eights with Bruno in front. We could be very open next season. Yeah, I do wonder who the defensive midfielder is going to be. Pains me to say this, but at least Ed Woodward would have done it, says George. And Al Amir says, also, it would look like, okay, we're not overpaying for transfers for sake of more players, but are we? I'm afraid we end up overpaying on lower quality. Well, the funny thing is, Amir, is that we're probably going to overpay on Fernandez, but because it's less than 70 million, people don't see it as overpaying. But if a player's worth 55 and you play 75, you've overpaid by 20 million. If a player's worth 100 million and you pay 120, you've overpaid by 20 million. It's the same thing. The value of the player and how much you overpay by. We won't overspend on above average players, says Sunrisers, but I hope we'll overpay for players like Haaland and Mbappe if they are open to joining us. No chance. We won't pay for anyone, mate. We're not going to pay for big fees anymore. They won't do it. Would you pay 180 million for Anderson? No. Would you rather Tonali and Hall for 120 million or just Anderson? Yeah, but Richard, I don't know whether you're a Glazer bot because you're just making up stuff. You're making it acceptable not to sign Elliot Anderson on a pretense that we get Tonali and Hall for the same price, which we won't. So I'm not going to answer the question because I think it's a trap. Moose One says, it's the first time I agree with you. Never thought the day would come, but nail on the hammer. You're right. No more compromising. We need players who need us as United and our culture, says the Moose One. I said this a while back. We'll have to change their game plan about not paying the wages and fees. It's like they're okay for the bare minimum, says Ray. Ray, I hope you're doing well. My fear has always been that we're being sold lies to hide the truth, which is ultimately what a lie is. And what I mean by that is, you know, you get Berada saying, if we don't win the league next year, we can win it the year after. How much excitement did that cause? You know, all season when we said Elliot Anderson's the priority, how much excitement did that cause? It's fake positivity to keep you quiet and happy, to stop protests, to stop people not, you know, buying shirts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
We're basically being manipulated to spend money on lies. We're going to win the league. We're going to buy Elliot Anderson. And none of these things are actually going to happen because they're not doing the things for them to happen. My concern is, the truth is, fourth place for the next 5 years while we build a stadium. How do we achieve fourth place? Well, we don't buy players over £80 million and we don't buy players over £200,000 a week. We just hold on to fourth for dear life for 4 or 5 years and build a stadium. That's my fear. Now, it's complete speculation and you can call it nonsense. You can call it a hot take. You can call it genius. I don't know. It's just my fear because the behavioural traits of the club are not that of a team, of an ownership that wants to spend money and wants to win. You know, Michael Carrick was unambitious, if we're being honest, and cheap. And also, very similar to Ollie, and they ignored it. They ignored the fact that Carrick wasn't playing great football, but was getting good results and went, let's do it again. And he's cheap. And he's a coach, not a manager. So they've gone cheap on the coach. We're now going cheap on the midfield in relation to we won't spend the big money. My fear is, for all the pretense about you know, they were happy to get linked to Anderson. They were happy to get linked to Tonali. And then we're not doing it. They're happy to say we're going to win the league in the next 2 years. But if it doesn't happen, what happens? Nothing. I'm scared that actually the plan in the boardroom is, as long as we get Europa League football or finish fourth or fifth for the next 5 years, we're okay. Because there's a very big difference between a football club that wants to finish fourth and a football club that wants to finish first. You're talking hundreds of millions of pounds of investment. You know, if you want to win, if you want to finish first, you're buying 100 million pound players and you're paying 250 grand a week. If you want to finish fourth, you don't need to do that. Time will tell. I don't know. I'd label contract renewal keeping players like Mount, Maguire, Delow, Shaw, Ugarte as overspending too. Moving out is as important as moving in. Amir, you know what? It's never been reported because this sort of stuff is incredible at being buried under the carpet. But remember when we renewed Harry Maguire? Everyone said, I'd keep him for another year if he takes a wage cut to 100 grand a week. Remember everybody said that? I'd give him another year if he goes down to 100 grand a week. We gave him another year on the same wage. He's still on somewhere between 150 and 200 grand a week. We didn't reduce it. So we won't overpay for players that will make us better, but we will overpay for players that shouldn't be on that wage. You know, we're happy to give Mason Mount 250 grand a week, which is incredible. The club is riddled with hypocrisy. They put statements out about we're not going to do this anymore, and they're literally still doing it. The ownership is turning the club into a mid-table club. No ambition, says Alan. I don't think we'll become a mid-table club, Alan. I think that we can still get fourth or fifth every year, but I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm not happy with fourth or fifth. I'm absolutely fed up that we've been away from first for so long. That's where we should be. I don't think we have that. And I don't think, I'd love to get proved wrong, but I think all the signs are there that our boardroom doesn't want to win league titles. I think they just want to finish fourth. You can't win Formula One and afford Focus either. Need to spend to win, says BJ. Well, unfortunately, and again, I'd like to be wrong on this, but unfortunately, not even just in competitive sport, but in competition, predominantly the people who win consistently are the people who spend the money. The Italian League, La Liga, you know, look at the Scottish League. Nobody has won the title apart from Rangers and Celtic since 1985 or four. That's not, you know, Hearts fell short. Rangers and Celtic spend the big money in that league. They're the big clubs and they win it every year. Real Madrid and Barcelona win it every year, virtually. Bayern Munich win it nearly every year. PSG win it every year. What have they got in common? They buy the best players. They spend the money. Pains me to say this, but Ed Woodward would pay and get these deals done, says George. Welcome to the Members Club, Mike, mate. Thank you very much. Hi, Mark. Just woke up to Sangare rumours. He's a decent rotational player. Do you think there is anything in that or just pure speculation? Says Energy Vibes. Well, thanks for waking up, mate, and joining the show. I'm not thanking you for waking up. I mean, thank God you woke up. The point is, why would you buy a good rotational player? Is Edison not that? Fernandez will need some time. Mainoo will need some time. Where's the experienced starter? That's my concern about this midfielder. Where is the experienced Casemiro coming into this team, which we will need? Where is it? Will signing Tonali for 100 million affect the price for Fernandez or any other midfielder we sign after? Also, would you sign a right back? I love the show, says Old Trafford Malik. Well, it's interesting just to talk about that very, very quickly. Thanks everyone who's tuning in this morning, by the way. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. We are live at 7. My show's last night caught a lot of people out. I don't know why. 7 o'clock tonight, 7 p.m. UK time, because there's a World Cup game at 8 o'clock. So we were live a little bit early last night. I saw something from Ty Marshall in the Manchester Evening News saying that United are going to go for a left back, not a left winger. But then Ben Jacobs said yesterday Man United are more likely to go for a left winger and not a left back. So there seems to be a little bit of confusion at the moment about what United are going to do down that side. Don't forget, we are capable of doing other deals other than a midfielder. I don't think we're going to sign a right back, Malik. I really don't think we will. I think with Mazraoui and Dalot, they'll stick with it for another season. But you know what? You know what annoys me is that, again, I think hopefully it comes across that a lot of the things I question come down to how the club is run and why some of our fans champion it. Now, I don't know why. Maybe they're getting little backhanders of information. I don't know what it is. Maybe they want backhanders of information. I don't know why it is that they glaze the club. But it's so logical to me that a lot of the things the club do are really scary. Like, as I said, with the Elliot Anderson thing, it's not really him. It's the obvious message that we're not going to spend £100 million on players anymore, and we're not going to spend over 200 grand a week on wages anymore, which completely wipes its arse on our history, because we've always done it and we've been very successful doing it. We've always bought big players and given them big wages if they were the right player, and now we're not going to do it. And our rivals are going to do it, so surely we're going to fall further and further behind. The second thing that bothers me is this whole, last year was the forward line, this summer it's the midfield, and next year it might be the defence. Well, what football club does that? There's no logic to kicking it down the road. Why didn't we buy a midfielder last summer with the attackers? The money was there. Why didn't we buy a midfielder in January? The money was there. We bid for Semenyo. Why are we only doing the midfield this year and not the defence as well? Why do we always kick things down the road? Real Madrid won't do that. Arsenal don't do that. Liverpool don't do that. Man City don't do that. So again, it's another example of falling further behind. If we're not going to buy the big players, they will. And if we're not going to solve all our problems in one summer, they will. So let me get my head around this. We're not going to buy the best players anymore, and we're not going to solve all our problems in one summer anymore. Well, we're going to fall behind then, aren't we? Go back to the car analogy, right? A new season's coming. Everyone else has bought really good equipment for their car. We've bought mediocre equipment. And everyone else has solved all the problems in their car, and we've solved half of them. We're not going to win the bloody race, are we? It's just very obvious. And if we are going to win the race, it's going to be pure luck and it won't be sustainable. We might do a Leicester, but it won't be sustainable. Surely, as a Man United fan, we want to win consistently. And we're not putting the fundamentals in place to do that. And the scary thing is, more and more of our fans are swallowing this shit and saying it tastes like chocolate mousse. It's nice. And I just don't get it. Indoctrinated into this ownership, which is terrifying, because they're business people who've got no care for this football club at all. I think football's really simple. And I think winning in football is really simple. I've watched football for over 40 years, and the teams that win, including us, spent money. I'm not ashamed to say it. Where you get that money from and how you got that money should be scrutinised, Chelsea, Man City. And if you do it wrong, you should be punished. But every football team that's been successful spends money. And any fan that goes, yeah, but you won by spending money, piss off. Where have you been? Under a rock? You have to spend big money to win. You have to do it. If you spend the money wrong, you'll lose. But you have to spend. If I gave you Man United tomorrow and said you're the new owner of Man United, what would you do? You'd spend money. You wouldn't go, well, we spent a lot of money in the last decade, I don't want to do it again. You'd go, well, they spent it badly. We have to spend to win. And it's incredibly sad that a football club with the history that Man United have got is becoming a football club that has fans that agrees that we shouldn't spend money. Because it's, you know, football's entertainment. It's not your bank balance. Football's entertainment. It's passion. I want the best players. If Yamal was available and he wanted to play for Man United, I'd want us to spend the money. I think some people would go, 200 million's too much. They would though, wouldn't they? If Yamal wanted to come to Man United and it was his dream, and Barcelona said, this deal only gets done for 200 million, there would be people in our fan base going, it's too much. And I think that's so sad. I think it's so sad. Because I'm like, it's Jamal. I don't care about the £200 million. And that's what we used to be like. No one ever used to talk about transfer fees when Ronaldinho was going to come. You know, when we got Rooney, there was no fans going, we shouldn't be doing this, it's stupid money. And yet we have got it now. Do you think we'll buy a left back? Rashford. Interesting story this morning. I think it was in the Manchester Evening News as well. Bayern Munich are becoming more interested in Rashford. What did I tell you? I said this weeks ago. I can see Rashford at Bayern Munich next season. And I think it's a great deal for everybody. I mean, I've watched a lot of the Bundesliga on That's Football because we've got the rights. But Bayern Munich, Rashford, that would be a bloody good deal for him. And I think that Bayern Munich would get a lot out of it. And what you got to remember is, I saw somebody online saying, oh, Bayern Munich should swerve that. I was like, what are you on about? Bayern Munich should swerve that. He went on loan to Villa, did really well. He went on loan to Barcelona, did really well. And he's in the World Cup squad for England. He'd tear it up at Bayern. It'd be very good. I mean, Bayern went for Nicholas Jackson for a year. Rashford's 10 times better than him. So, look, some people still think he's going to Barcelona and maybe he wants to go there. But I'm telling you now, Bayern would be a great move for him. Really, really good. Would you take Phil Foden? No, Kiel. If we don't get Anderson, Tchouaméni or Tonali, I'll settle for Fernandes and Stiller, says Razzler. Bruno was promised signings to stay. He will leave, says Francis. I don't think Bruno gives a shit about that. I might be wrong. I don't think Bruno Fernandes cares about whether we sign Elliot Anderson or Tonali. I think Bruno loves being the main man at Man United and believes the hype that we can be a good team next season. I don't think Bruno's going to say, you didn't buy Elliot Anderson, I'm leaving. I think Bruno's staying no matter what. I don't think Bruno is thinking about the transfer window and whether he's going to stay or not. I think he's already staying. The club can't be scared of big signings being flops. They happen. If we stopped making big signings because of Aron, we'd never have gone for Rooney. What a great comment of the day, good 34. You're exactly right. We spent a lot of money on Varon. Varon would have been the equivalent of over £100 million signing when we bought him because I think we spent £34 million on him. He flopped. It didn't prevent us going buying other players. Mark, you said to my question you would not pay 180 for Anderson, so some fans have this stance for 125. Fans know we need 5 to 7 players. I knew you were going to come back with an absolutely idiotic take, Samuel. Thank you very much for proving my theory. Your point doesn't stand at all. I think you sat there chewing on your cornflakes thinking you've dropped a microphone. You haven't. You've dropped a brick on your foot and that's your brain telling you out. There's no correlation with that at all. You can't say to somebody, would you pay 180 for Anderson? No, I wouldn't. Well, that proves why we shouldn't buy him. Because his price is 120, mate. And if we really want him, we should sign him. The same way we signed Rooney. The same way we signed Andy Cole. And also, you haven't answered my point. You're doing exactly what that knobhead did online. You're not listening. I don't care about whether you want Elliot Anderson or not. My statement to you is this football club is not going to sign players for £100 million anymore and we're not going to pay over 200 grand a week anymore. That's the message from this football club. And you're happy with that. Well, I hope you're happy with not winning league titles because Man City will do it, Arsenal will do it, Chelsea will do it and Liverpool will do it. So how are we going to win when we've got owners that won't spend big money anymore? Which is what we always did to win in the past. We always spent big money. Putting a limit on how much you spend is basically implementing the Tottenham model and hoping to win with it. Absolute disgrace to aim for mediocrity, says BRT. Vic says, off-topic situations like last night and the Arsenal-West Ham game proved the need to go back to the build-up of a foul. The South African guy was fouled and tried to run forward and no intent to hit the Mexico guy. Normal will trying to get free. Well, that's Vic talking about the World Cup. Look, I'm very interested in the World Cup, mate, but this is the United Stand. Just a little note, by the way, if we've got any Americans watching the show today, you can tune into That's Football at 2 a.m. UK time because I'm doing the first early hours watch along tomorrow morning for the opening USA game. Why does Anderson want to join City? Winning one Premier League with United is better than 5 with City. He'd be a rock star, says Simon. Mate, again, he hasn't turned Man United down because we haven't bid. we haven't even offered him terms. So this myth that Anderson turned Man United down, we never even put an offer in. Hypothetically, if we get in a bidding war with City for Anderson and we bid 130, the fan base would go mental, lose-lose situation, says Lil. I'd be over the moon. I wouldn't give a shit. If he's our dream target and everyone in our boardroom is saying that he's our priority and we go out and get him, I'm not bothered. Could a surprise January window be on the cards, says Keel. No. Keel, sometimes I genuinely think you're a bot. I figured it out and I've wanted to say it for a long time, mate. It's the summer and you're talking about January, which we never do anything in. You constantly drop in about Belabor. I reckon I've exposed Keel. I genuinely think he's a Glazer bot. 80 million for Tchouaméni or 60 million for Hall as marquee signing. Well, Lewis Hall's not a midfielder, mate. We need a midfielder. So I'd go Tchouaméni. Will, that's Stretford Signal. Will signing Tonali for 100 million affect? I've done that one as well. Mark, I was frustrated when Sir Alex Ferguson skipped Hazard, Lucas Moura, Aguero, Silva. I have a feeling you're at a similar state with Anderson, but he is as talented as those players were back then, says Sunriser. Look, I don't want to make it about Elliot Anderson because I think people get locked into that very small argument. My debate point is the club have said they don't want to spend over £80 million on players and they don't want to spend 200 grand a week or more on players either. Every big rival does it. So why don't we want to do it anymore? I think it's disgusting. On Elliot Anderson, personally, I think he's great. I think he's a brilliant player. I think he's all action. I think he does everything. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant player. And I think he's a Man United player. But he's not going to be a Man United player. And there's going to be a lot more of them. As I said, if the next Wayne Rooney came along, we wouldn't buy him. Man City would. If the next Roy Keane came along, we wouldn't buy him. Arsenal would. We're not in those conversations anymore, and that's scary. And the club are telling us we're not in those conversations anymore. We're not buying those types of players anymore. We're not buying plan A, B or C. We're buying D, E and F, and we're probably going to overpay for them. But look, there is a lot of the window left and we started on a positive, so we'll finish on a positive. Things are definitely moving on Fernandes. Personal terms are agreed. There may be competition there. I'm hoping George Mendes is involved in the bidding for us with West Ham. That could take a while. But you know, let's wait and see. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. And we're back at 2 o'clock. And don't forget 7 o'clock show tonight because World Cup watch along at 8. Speak to you in a bit. Great show today. Really enjoyed it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.